The Hearse Song. Don't ever laugh as a hearse goes by, for you may be the next to die. They wrap you up in a big white sheet, from your head down to your feet. They put you in a big black box and cover you up with dirt and rocks. And all goes well for about a week. And then your coffin begins to leak. And the worms crawl in. The worms crawl out. The worms they pinochle on your snout. They eat your eyes. They eat your nose. They eat the jelly between your toes. A big green worm with rolling eyes crawls in your stomach and out your eyes. Your stomach turns a slimy green, and pus comes out like whipping cream. You spread it on a slice of bread, and that's what you eat when you are dead. And the worms crawl out. The worms crawl in. The worms that crawl in are lean and thin. The ones that crawl out are fat and stout. Your eyes fall in and your hair falls out. Your brain comes tumbling down your snout. And the worms crawl in. The worms crawl out. They crawl all over your dirty snout. Your chest caves in and your eyes pop out. Your brain turns to sauerkraut. They invite their friends, and their friends too. They all come down to chew on you. And this is what it is to die. I hope you had a nice goodbye. Did you ever think, as a hearse goes by, that you might be the next to die? And your eyes fall out, and your teeth decay, and that is the end of a perfect day.
You can become a KRVS supporter easily right now or at any time. But while you're thinking about it, could just be the best time to make that contribution. If you're on your phone or a laptop, you can go to KRVS.org and click that red donate button. You can fill out that form even on your phone. It's very easy, very simple, one page. And we hope that you will give what you can, whether that's a first-time gift, whether you've never become a member of KRVS. You could think perhaps about $25. Some people start with $52. It's a dollar a week for everything you get on public radio. It's really not so much when you think about it throughout the year. But whatever amount is deeply appreciated, just like everyone's gifts to KRVS. We are nonprofit public radio. It means nobody's making a profit. Everything goes into the public service of the programs. Everything goes into making sure that you get that program, that you get that signal, again on whatever device you use to listen to KRVS. So do your part. Support this program. Support the host of this program. Support what matters to you every time you tune in, day or night. You count on these programs. It's easy to take things like this for granted. But during the spring fundraiser, we are asking you to not take it for granted, to make a contribution, to be a part of the KRVS community, to be a part of what makes this a special place. It's a trusted space. You know, you enter into KRVS and you trust that you're going to hear great programming. And so we're hoping, we're trusting in you. And we're hoping that you will do your part during this spring fundraiser. Again, such an easy thing to do, clicking on that red donate button or calling during the hours when we're here. But whatever time is convenient for you, you can contribute to KRVS. Just go to krvs.org and click on the red donate button. A simple page to fill out, and at that site you can also take a look at our thank you gifts, t-shirts, mugs. But never forget that the big gift that you're giving yourself is the programming. Thanks so much for your support.
That's a long gig.
Where can I buy a copy of Cookie, Lend Me Your Comb?
Ooh, man, I don't dig that jazz. You know, Brubeck, Shearing, Modern Jazz Quartet.
I'm a mummy.
Man, you gotta walk through.
Aren't you afraid of me? Aren't you gonna scream?
Oh, yeah. Like help.
Last night at the museum, they were searching for a trace of the thief who stole the mummy's bracelet from its case. And now tonight the mummy's curse is on his thieving head, for the mummy's come to life, awakened from the dead.
Give me my bracelet back.
Who stole the mummy's bracelet, gave it to his love, and now tonight she wears it while the full moon's up above. But as she dances in his arms, a chill is in her veins. She seems to hear a ghostly voice echo this refrain.
Give me my bracelet back.
At last the dance is over, it's time to say goodnight. Her lover sees her to the door, she holds him very tight. She whispers, please don't leave me. Then upon the stairs, their blood runs cold because they see the mummy standing there.
Give me my bracelet back.
He stretched out his hand to take the bracelet back. And where his fingers touched the flesh, it began to crack. Then right before her lover's eyes, she turned to stone. At least that's what they told him when they took him to the home.
How to see ghosts or surely bring them to you. This part of the book is for children who were born in the morning or around lunchtime. If you were born at midnight, some say just at twilight, you were probably born with the gift of being able to see ghosts and other spirits and don't have to be told how. Of course, all cats, dogs, horses, and roosters can see ghosts, but lots of people cannot see ghosts, even though they can usually hear them. And lots of people don't believe in ghosts because they say they never saw one. So anyone who wants to see a ghost, here's how. If you really mean it, if you really want to see a ghost, go walk around a grave 12 times backward, and the ghost will rise and ask you what you want. Some people say that just walking around the grave will raise the ghost, and some say you have to do it backward 12 times. Or if you want to summon some one particular ghost, go to his grave at night and call him by name. He will rise and tell you what you want to know. Some ghosts can be summoned by music. If you sing or play some piece of music or some special musical instrument that someone loved, especially during life, the ghost will come to see you. Some people say that you can raise a ghost by whistling. You might, and you might not. It has happened. Once a man was walking along a road at night, whistling some tune, and a ghost fell into step beside him, whistling the same tune. You can call back some loved ghost by too much grief and weeping. Almost any ghost will come back to comfort those they love and stop their weeping. The poor souls cannot rest if you weep too much. They will come back and beg you to let them rest. You can become a ghost seer by looking in through a hole in a coffin. This is especially true in some far northern countries, like Lithuania, for instance, where people leave little windows in the coffin so the dead can see out. You can see ghosts and spirits by peering at them from between a dog's ears. It is well known that dogs can see ghosts. So if you look steadily from between a dog's ears in the direction the dog is looking, you will see the same ghost he sees. You can see ghosts sometimes if you gaze steadily through a ring. If you look through a keyhole, you'll either see a ghost or the devil. In fact, there's no telling what you might see. Better not. Just say you aren't scared. Just say how brave and nonchalant you'd be if you ever saw a ghost. And see what happens.
But they won't let me alone. Oh yeah. machines, they keep right on moving. Well, I've got to find a place to rest my head. A machine, he smiled at me and say, I'm gonna be all bed. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Machines, machines, oh, we made them to serve us. Machines, machines, oh, we built them to serve us. But till the day when I'm buried in my grave, yes, right until that day, I know I'm gonna be a slave, a slave, a slave, a slave to the machines, a machines, they keep right on grinning. Machines, a machines, they keep right on. Ha ha ha.
Hello, I'm Claire Berger.
And I'm Dr. Lewis Berger.
And for the last 20 years, we have traveled the globe investigating cases of lost souls, phantoms, and visitors from beyond.
My wife Claire is a world-renowned medium.
You flatter me, Lewis. I communicate with spirits who have been unable to cross over to the other side. I've had this ability since I was a young child, and I've been honing my psychic skills ever since.
I myself am not able to communicate with the spirit world, but I am one of this world's foremost experts in parapsychology. My work at the Massachusetts Center for Psychic Phenomenon has ushered in a new era of paranormal research.
Lewis and I do not pretend to know exactly what happens when a person dies.
But we do believe that while the physical body may cease to function, there's another part of the being that remains.
Earthbound spirits are hungry for attention. Stuck in houses, hotels, restaurants, on the street. They are doing everything in their power to make you notice.
The world is saturated with the supernatural. There are specters and mysterious entities all around us. Sometimes you hear them. A whisper. A chuckle. Footsteps. Sometimes you feel them when the room goes icy cold and the hair stands on the back of your neck.
You think it's your imagination, but it isn't.
Over the years, we have seen and heard some astonishing things, and they're all captured on this record.
Listen closely as we recount some of our most memorable encounters with spirits, both tame and malevolent.
Within this record, you'll hear actual ghosts caught with portable cassette recorders. We'll recount the tale of the disco boogeyman, a phantom still desperate to cut a rug. Then we'll travel to Ireland and share with you the world's first ever recording of a banshee.
We've changed the names of people and of places to protect the identities of those featured. But beside that, these accounts are 100% true.
So close your shutters, but open your minds, because we're about to bring you
the sounds of the spirit world.
You may think that you've seen a ghost before, but have you ever heard one?
What you have just heard was recorded overnight in the empty ballroom of a haunted hotel. It is the most profoundly unsettling and mysterious ghost recording we have ever documented.
This recording has not been altered in any way. We invite you to listen again and again to see what you can make of it.
So what exactly are these recordings? We've captured some strange, human-sounding voices and distressing noises of unknown origin onto various forms of electronic media.
Now, what's fascinating is that these voices and sounds cannot be heard by the human ear when they first occur.
It is only after you play back the tape that you'll discover that a spirit has made contact.
Yes, it's truly amazing. When a ghost communicates directly to a human ear, we can't hear it, but the tape picks it up.
We don't hear anything at the time, but when we play back the tape, the sounds we've captured are horrifying.
We'd like to play you some of those sounds. The following excerpts were collected from a wide range of alarming investigations.
Many skeptics will spend the day in a haunted house and find that nothing happens. The thing is, a house isn't haunted 24 hours a day. You don't open the front door and see ghosts floating around. But after the sun goes down, the psychic energy builds in the darkness. From sunset to sunrise, these are the hours of supernatural infestation. First, you'll hear random knocks. followed by pounding and rattling in the walls. Sometimes you'll hear laughter.
Then you may hear cries or sobs. But these are just the tip of the iceberg. When 3 a.m. rolls around, that's when things get severely unnerving.
Are there any spirits in this house?
No.
Is anyone there?
If there are any spirits in this house, please give us a sign.
We're waiting for you.
Isn't that frightening? They never cease to give me chills.
Remember, we heard nothing when we asked the questions. It was only after we played back the tapes that these voices could be heard.
We encourage you to record your own. It's really quite simple.
Buy an audio recording device. Claire and I prefer portable cassette recorders to reel-to-reel devices. They're more expensive, but their smaller size makes up for the cost. Try to find a unit with an external microphone. Recorders with internal microphones will capture the sounds of the inner gears.
And make sure to use brand new tape. The first thing a skeptic will say to discount your recording is that the ghostly voices were caused by previous recordings on the tape. They'll diminish your paranormal evidence, no matter how dramatic or convincing.
Once you have identified a location you'd like to investigate, turn on your recorder. Invite any spirits who are present to have a conversation. Be respectful, be polite, and be smart.
Yes. Do not tease them. You do not want to experience the wrath of an angry entity.
Ask simple questions. Names, ages, why they're here. Be clear and be loud. And give them long enough to answer.
Listen to your recording very carefully. Sometimes the sounds are so low, they're easy to miss.
If you capture something worth sharing, please send a copy to us along with a self-addressed stamped envelope. We'll gladly review your material and send you correspondence if we feel that you should hire us for a professional investigation. This first investigation happened in 1974 at a nightclub in Laytonville, Maryland.
Something was going bump in the night. But it wasn't the music at the disco.
It was a ghost who danced to his own strange beat.
We like to call this one the case of the disco boogeyman. Each day, the owner of the club spent long hours alone, preparing for the night ahead.
One afternoon, loud music suddenly blared from the speakers. The owner rushed to the DJ booth, convinced that someone was pulling a prank on him. But when he arrived, no one was there.
The stereo system was playing on its own. Then, records started flying out of their sleeves, attacking the owner, whipping at his hands and face. He fled the scene and tried to keep the incident a secret.
But the bewitching incidents intensified.
Employees started finding blood stains on the dance floor. No matter how many times they scrubbed them away, they always came back.
Finally, one night, the spirit was fed up with being ignored. With the dance floor packed and the music blasting, the disco ball exploded.
The owner knew that something had to be done. That's when he called us.
When we first arrived at the club, we knew immediately that something was wrong. There was a sadness in the air. Through her special abilities, Claire could feel the emotions of the spirit, his agony, his pain.
I felt an enormous sense of dread.
Everyone else in the room faded, and out of nowhere, I was transported to another time. The spirit was showing me what happened to him through telepathic projection. The dance floor was full of people. Lights flashed as people gyrated the night away. Suddenly, I couldn't breathe. I collapsed to the floor. I was paralyzed. But the other people were too high on drugs to notice. They kept dancing, stomping on me over and over. No one stopped to help. I came out of the trance, and I was in excruciating pain. My chest burned like the fires of hell.
I pulled open Claire's shirt. I had no other choice. And what I found was absolutely gruesome. You could see bloody scratches and shoe marks on her chest and abdomen. It was one of the most terrifying things I have ever seen.
I confronted the owner and told him what the spirit had shown me. And he confirmed that a young man had, in fact, overdosed on drugs and had been trampled to death right there on the dance floor.
Those people laid down the boogie and played that funky music till he died. Didn't they, Claire?
Yes. Yes, they did. It was just awful.
Once we knew what we were dealing with, we insisted on spending the night in the club by ourselves to conduct research. The owner complied.
When the sun went down, we began our investigation. The first thing we did was to set up our recorder.
We'd like to play you a portion of that session. Turn up your speakers and listen closely.
If there are any spirits in this club, please give us a sign.
Is there anyone there? If there's someone here with us, please give us a sign.
Gemini.
Isn't that incredible? Absolutely astounding.
We're not jiving you, friends. That was real. Now remember, we couldn't hear anything the entity was saying. It was only after we played back the tape that we realized we had made contact.
And once we played back that tape, this spirit knew that we could hear him. He knew that he had our attention.
And that's when things got really funky.
We both saw smoke begin to plume from the club's fog machine, filling the dance floor. The lights sparked to life. Disco music blared from the speakers.
The room turned ice cold. There was a foul, nauseating stench, like rotting meat. And that's when I saw him. He was a large, gray shape, almost transparent. He was sliding back and forth on the stage, really grooving to the beat. He had an enormous afro hairstyle and bell-bottom pants.
I focused my energy and made telepathic contact with the spirit. I told him to go to the light. But he refused to believe that he was dead. I told him that he didn't belong here, that he needed to realize that the party was over.
But the trapped soul still wouldn't listen. So I turned the tables on the spirit. I snuck in a copy of my favorite record, Glenn Ruxton's Gospel Favorites, a delightful collection of Christian hymns.
Lewis put that record on and turned the volume up all the way. All the while, we both prayed for his soul to find its way home. His hateful resistance was formidable, but we eventually overcame his colossal pain.
The lights turned off, so did the music, and in an instant, the ghost was gone.
Apparently, all he needed was a little taste of his own medicine, and some gospel tunes did the trick. That put an end to our disco haunting. The owner never heard from that unwanted guest again.
The case of the disco boogeyman was unlike anything we've ever experienced.
We can only hope he danced his way to the other side, safely.
Most consider the Banshee to be a creature of legend.
A form of Grim Reaper, whose ghastly shriek warns the living that death is imminent.
If you hear the Banshee's cry, someone you love is going to die.
If you see a Banshee, you are going to die.
The tale of the Banshee has a strong connection with the six great Gaelic families. The Kavanaghs, the McMenamins, the O'Briens, the O'Gradys, the O'Longs, and the O'Neills.
In the winter of 1973, fact and folklore collided at a small hospital in the Irish town of Hessler. There, villagers claimed to have multiple encounters with a monstrous wraith whose deafening wails brought doom to those who heard it.
Patients who traced their lineage to the six great Gaelic families were dying of strange and unexplained circumstances. It was a medical mystery.
At night, nurses reported hearing the terrible screams of a woman, only to find their patients dead in the morning. The superstitious locals were convinced it was the work of a banshee.
Banshees are not known for attacking the living, but this one was different.
A young nurse had a horrifying brush with the creature. One night, she was patrolling the halls and took note of a rancid odor. Down the hall, she saw a cloaked woman floating. The banshee turned and looked her in the eyes. Her face was white as a sheet, and her eyes were black as night. The banshee let out a scream so loud and shrill that it caused the nurse's eardrums to burst. She told the doctor on duty every detail, but he didn't believe her. The next day, she dropped dead of an apparent heart attack. She had no previous history of health problems.
An unspeakable evil was preying on this hospital, something many believed had only existed in legends.
The hospital staff was desperate. They turned to us and paid for our journey to Ireland in hopes that we could put an end to this nightmare.
The hospital president was quite the skeptic, but he humored his staff and allowed us to conduct our investigation.
On the night we arrived, we began at the edge of the woods surrounding the hospital, where the sounds of the banshee seemed to originate. We kept our ears open for the infamous screams of terror.
That night was rainy and damp, with a chill in the air. The locals had made us a traditional concoction of herbs that were used to attract the banshee. We sprinkled them around the hospital perimeter, hoping to draw her out.
Out of nowhere, we heard the deadly wails coming from the woods.
I felt a freezing cold hand clench my shoulder and sniffed a disgusting stink in the air. The spirit made telepathic contact with me. I could feel her despair. She was filled with rage, vengeful. She told me she hated all those who were living, especially me. I was paralyzed by fear. I'd never encountered such a vicious presence.
I scrambled for the recorder and quickly flicked it on. Here is what we captured.
Be advised, if you are a blood relation to one of the six great Gaelic families, these recordings have the potential to cause you physical or emotional harm.
We call on the spirit of the banshee. Please come forward and let us hear your cry.
If the spirit of the banshee is still with us, give us another sign.
Did you hear that? Because I certainly did.
It's okay, Claire. Continue.
Who are you? Identify yourself.
The cry of the banshee was so piercing, it actually hurt
our ears. It was excruciating.
Blood oozed out of Claire's ear. The banshee's cries caused her physical pain. It was incredible.
I was terrified. I thought, this is it. I'm done for.
But luckily, I had an ace in the hole. When we landed at the airport, I had discovered a four-leaf clover in a nearby meadow. I pocketed the lucky artifact in hopes that its magical components could help us later. And boy, did they ever.
Lewis held out his clover and hoped he'd get lucky. And he did.
The banshee was furious, but she weaved back and forth, entranced under the spell of the four-leaf clover. In an instant, she transformed into a green mist and drifted away into the dreary darkness of the woods.
Would she come back? We weren't sure.
But it was the best we could do.
We reported our findings to the hospital president and played the whales we had captured.
We urged him not to admit any more patients whose lineage could be traced to the six great Gaelic families.
The president was a skeptic and laughed at us. He refused to believe that a banshee was haunting his hospital.
Sadly, after we left, patients who were blood relatives of the six great Gaelic families continued to die of bizarre and unexplained circumstances. Many locals still insist that the banshee is responsible.
While skeptics disagree, Lewis and I believe that banshees do exist. We've stared them down face to face and heard their sorrowful song.
Remember, friends, death is out there, waiting for us all, and the banshee always knows whose time is up. Before we leave you, Claire and I would love to give one last parting gift, an opportunity for all of us to speak with the dead.
We will walk you through the process of a séance step by step in the hope that you too may communicate with the spirit world.
First things first, wait for sundown. Then find a quiet place in your home, somewhere calm where you can focus easily. If possible, use a room with a rounded table so that all participants can face each other.
Next, gather candles and place them in the center of the table. You'll need at least three. Now, light them one by one, and then turn out any lamps or overhead lighting in the room.
Make sure that everyone you have invited to your séance believes, or at least has an open mind. Otherwise, it may not be successful. Spirits do not like skeptics. For a seance to be effective, we recommend that you share the session with at least four living individuals.
Once everyone is at the table, link your hands together. Extend your right hand to the person on your right and your left hand to the person on your left. This creates a physical bond to the earthly world and allows each member of the group to stay connected while venturing deep into the spirit world.
Once the lights are out, the candles are lit, and everyone is holding hands, we advise participants to close their eyes. This stops any other distraction from worming its way into your brain.
It's best for one person to be the voice of communication with visitors from beyond. I will be taking on that role on this recording.
Normally, you will go into a séance with a specific spirit that you wish to summon, a dearly departed family member, friend, or a loved one. For the purpose of this record, Claire will keep things open-ended so that you may learn the ways of the ritual. We will simply ask for any spirit, instead of a specified guest. Now, let's begin.
Are there any spirits here with us tonight? If you are here, please give us a sign.
Signs come in many different ways. Perhaps a tap on the window or a flicker of the flame. If you would like to ask the spirit for a specific sign, feel free to do so. but understand that not every ghost has the ability to perform all types of activities. They are limited in their means of communicating with the living.
Now we're going to ask some questions. Please tap once for yes and tap twice for no. Did you like this record?
Incredible. We've made contact. I hope our friends at home have made contact as well.
Are there any other paranormal investigators that hold a candle to what we do? Would you like to hear more about our work with mysteries and the occult?
Well then, stay with us, dear spirit, and we will tell you all about it. As for the rest of our listeners, you can locate our address inside the sleeve of this record and send us a self-addressed stamped envelope. We'll send back a catalog of books we've authored and information on how we can help you with any matters of the paranormal.
To end a seance, you should finish any questions, thank the spirit for its time, and then simply unbind the circle of hands and blow out the candles. It's as simple as that.
And with that, this seance and our record must come to an end.
We hope you found it enlightening and captivating.
Until the next time, always remember,
respect the dead, and they will respect you.
You can become a KRVS supporter easily right now or at any time. But while you're thinking about it, could just be the best time to make that contribution. If you're on your phone or a laptop, you can go to krvs.org and click that red donate button. You can fill out that form even on your phone. It's very easy, very simple, one page, and we hope that you will give what you can, whether that's a first-time gift, whether you've never become a member of KRVS, and you could think perhaps about $25. Some people start with $52. It's a dollar a week for everything you get on public radio. It's really not so much when you think about it throughout the year. But whatever amount is deeply appreciated. Just like every minute that you listen counts for you, every dollar you give makes a huge difference. Public radio. It means nobody's making a profit. Everything goes into the public service of the programs. Everything goes into making sure that you get that program, that you get that signal, again, on whatever device you use to listen to KRVS. So do your part. Support this program. Support the host of this program. Support what matters to you every time you tune in, day or night. And we count on these programs. It's easy to take things like this for granted. But during the spring fundraiser, we are asking you to not take it for granted, to make a contribution, to be a part of the KRVS community, to be a part of what makes this a special place. It's a trusted space. You know, you enter into KRVS and you trust that you're going to hear great programming. And so we're hoping, we're trusting in you. And we're hoping that you will do your part during the spring fundraiser. Again, such an easy, easy thing to do. Clicking on that red donate button or calling during the hours when we're here. Whatever time is convenient for you, you can contribute to KRVS. Just go to krvs.org. Click on the red donate button. A simple page to fill out, and at that site you can also take a look at our thank you gifts, t-shirts, mugs, but never forget that the big gift that you're giving yourself is the programming. Thanks so much for your support.
ghost, the friendliest ghost you know. Though grown-ups might look at him with fright, the children all love him so. He always says hello, and is really glad to meet you, wherever he may go. He's kind to every living creature. Grown-ups don't understand why children love him the most, but kids all know that he loves them so. Casper the Friendly Ghost. Casper the Friendly Ghost, the friendliest ghost you know. Though grown-ups might look at him with fright, the children all love him so. He always says hello, and he's really glad to meet you, wherever he may go. He's kind to every living creature. Grown-ups don't understand why children love him the most, but kids all know that he loves them so. Casper the Friendly Ghost. Casper the Friendly Ghost.
A very weird happening happened to me on a Halloween night, quite accidentally. I was on the way home from trick and treating when a spook and I had an unusual meeting. I walked through the woods, which was dumb, I might say, and suddenly, there he was, blocking my way. He was tall and quite ugly, with a big toothless grin. A hand was attached where an ear should have been. As I looked at him closely, I saw out of place just one great big eye in the middle of his face.
And this one big eye just blinked.
His nose was so long, it hung down to his chest. There were six jagged ribs sticking out of his vest. His legs were just bone, and I counted three, with a big chain secured to each one at the knee.
And his one big eye just blinked.
He gave a low moan as he rattled his chains, and I felt the blood turn to ice in my veins. My hair stood on end as I felt my legs sag. There was nothing to do but to give him my bag.
And his one big eye just blinked.
He reached in the bag and started to eat. Not the candy, nor apples, nor anything sweet. He just ate the paper and a lollipop stick. I thought to myself, he'll surely be sick. He wiped off his chin with a dirty old rag and tore into pieces and ate up the bag.
And his one big eye just blinked.
Suddenly, purple light lit up the place, and then he was gone without leaving a trace. But I'm sure that I saw, though the light wasn't clear, and his very large eye was a very large tear.
And the big sad eye just blinked.
Now that I'm older, not given to fright, I still think about him each Halloween night. That tall, ugly thing with the big toothless grin and the one hand attached where an ear should have been. I feel sort of sad to remember that I saw the very large tear in his very large eye.
And the large, sad eye just blinked.
Thank you. Phillips inviting you to get up with the Get Down and funkify your life.